Brother Teo.
There
was some serious contemplation this afternoon.
Oh, very good.
Father, very good.
And there's some clearing of ignorance.
Wow, Sahadu, we should all rejoice. Very good, thank you. Share. They will benefit.
When we first came here, you said the hills are still the hill.
Ah, yes. Kan San Su San.
Are no longer the hill.
Sadhu, so you saw it. Wow.
So, when I told Song, I don't know who am I anymore, the hill was no longer the hill.
Wow, Sadhu.
Sadhu, I rejoice. Huh? Very good. Sadhu. So fast he learned. Very good. Huh? Cannot hear? What? Oh, cannot hear what he said. Oh, you speak louder. Huh? Never mind, I repeat. He said, huh? Oh, they advise you next time you speak, put the mic directly on your mouth where they want to hear. Anyway, I repeat, don't worry. Very good. He said he got something to share. Then he said, allow me to speak. I said, yeah, go ahead. Then he said, this afternoon, he got very good contemplation, is it? Then he started, is it? When I was sharing earlier on, I think 2 or 3 days back, he said, Brother Teo mentioned, see the hill is the hill, means sana, mountain or hill. Then he said, the afternoon contemplation, after he saw hill, no more hill, no wonder he said, he told Brother Song earlier on, I don't know who I am, is it? I don't know who is eating and all those things. It's like become more and more. Have this understanding that, just like I explained just now, because he relaxed and come out of the whatever. Then now, he know how to use this awareness, even though it's not fully out, but still got a little bit of apana samadhi, you don't worry. Because
I continue first.
Okay, you can
brother,
do.
Never mind.
Sorry,
go
ahead, yeah.
You need to laugh in between.
Don't worry. okay.
So, 2 nights ago, I told Song also after we went back, how come can be like that one? Two nights ago, you were talking about perception of form is consciousness. At that point, just moments prior to that, I don't know why there was a bitter that came my way. And right away, without even any consideration, I want to bring it to a safe place.
So very I took good.
It and walked away. Then you were looking for me. So when I came back, you said, I know. And then, suddenly I was like illiterate. I don't know what you were talking about.
Oh, very good. Don't understand is the best.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then after that, you put pressure.
Okay, good.
See, I give you time. What is that?
Oh, very good.
And then you say, you know or don't know? You don't know, I tell you.
Very good. Sadhu. Oh, that one worked. So next time I know how to knock. Sadhu.
I don't know how come like that one.
Very good.
And then after that, you change the language. Then suddenly I say, I think I cannot remember what I said already. But the second part, right? Then you ask, why? Then you said, you reverse the phrase. And then I said, it's a sixth sense consciousness. And then you said, yes, okay. Then you said the next part. Non-perception is wisdom. What is that? Then you look at me. Hey, I also don't know.
I know, you don't know at first, but finally you got the answer.
I don't know.
When you don't know, like Ananda, lie down, give up already, suddenly you will know.
But
that's why the answer came out.
I want to think. Wait, I cannot think.
Cannot think one.
And then after that I said, it's beyond
mind.
Beyond thought.
I
said beyond the khandhas.
Yeah.
Then after you said, wow, very good, very good.
Yeah.
Then after that, in my mind, I think, huh? Correct.
You know why or not? You use your thought to reason, rational. The thought cannot understand. Because when you answer without thinking, not according to knowledge and memory, the right answer will come out. Understand not? Because there is insight, understand. That's why you answer correctly without you knowing, because you try to use the thought to rationalize and understand. The thought come in, finish.
So I was very surprised.
Very good.
So that's why I went back, I told Song. I said, I don't know, how come like that one?
Okay, very good. Sadhu.
Okay, then never mind. I have been in a state where the hills are no longer hills for a while. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. When I have meals, I don't even talk. In fact, I don't know how to talk.
Very good. That is what you will go through. No wonder I saw you there alone eating.
I only hear people.
Correct.
So for the brothers.
The pure awareness.
Brothers and sisters who are on the table, my pardon, I don't know how to talk.
Sadhu. So you are being very different now. You want to express your sincere apology to them. Sadhu. Very good.
So then, this afternoon, or rather after breakfast for the last few days, I always walk out alone. And then I look outside, just outside the temple, at the gate. On the left, it's actually a panoramic view of the small town, plus also the greenery mountain.
Yes.
When I look at it at first, it's just as it is.
Sadhu, very good.
And then, after that, another mind start to look.
The perception come in.
And then, got this building. Wow, very nice.
Sadhu.
Then got this one. Hey, that one look like a market.
Sadhu. That's why when the mundane mind come out and perceive, again your memory, conditioning all come out. Understand?
Then, why like this? Okay, never mind. Then, so then this afternoon, I cut short the rest. This afternoon, I look at suddenly I recall the picture you draw on the board. Right. From the source.
The four circle.
To the.
The phenomenal mind, world.
To the. Mundane mind.
Then phenomenal world.
And then when I look at it, you say there are two minds. This morning also got two mind.
Yeah, sadhu.
Then, if the true mind is the true mind, then it become the perpetual mind.
Eternal mind, yes.
Eternal mind.
Yes.
But no leh, no two mind leh. How come got two mind? Then I recall the triangle you draw. Same what? Also two mind. Then, when I came in, I sit down only. The mind is the mind. It's just the changing mind.
Sadhu.
There's no two mind. What is
Sadhu.
The two mind?
Very good. Because the second mind is actually, like you say, condition arising. So to you, it's like this mind change. Understand not? Because you can only do one thing at a time. You remember what I say? Human being can only do one thing at a time. Either you aware or you are lost in thought. What is lost in thought?
So then,
Yeah, continue.
So then, the true mind, right, is unconditioned, right? No, it's still conditioned.
Yes, it's not unconditioned. Yeah, because that one must cease, then only the unconditioned. Then I draw up there.
Yeah. So it's still a conditioned mind.
Not really a fully conditioned mind, because it's not in the condition arising. But karmically conditioned out the form and mind, there is a link to that. Only a vehicle that come through karma can connect to that. That is
but the... There's no more mind. Is there a mind?
That one is a mind. Where there is the silent mind. Where there when you mind, don't think...
There is a mind, but also there's no mind.
You use word, you will end up like that.
Cannot. That's why I cannot. I don't know. I don't know how to say.
I know. Don't worry. Yeah? Whatever it is, you are now going through what they call some experiences that you recently come to experience. Later on, as it stabilized, you will know. Because Song, he got same problem, but very different from yours. He straight away realized all these things. Then the mundane might start to come in and question, how come like that? How come like that? How come like that? That's why when you use the mundane mind that cannot understand what happened, you will have a lot of questions. So this is the one of the, what they call, reason, because you haven't stabilized it, you haven't understood it, you haven't really penetrated it. You have some glimpse of it, but yours is still within apana, samadhi, but at a very, very much lower, what they call, samadhi. You went into apana, draw out, but not fully out into upacara. That's why this is not a completely free mind yet. That's why you will go through this phase of experiences. Then you don't worry. Later on, as you meditate, as you come out into the free mind state in your daily mindfulness, then when you have the direct seeing, awakening, you will understand everything. You don't need me to explain also. Yeah. So I rejoice. But don't be complacent. Don't think you already have developed the understanding. It is just you came from the concentration energy field. Then you're willing to relax and come out of it. But like you say, every time you do, then when you try to go to the heart, the energy build up again. Then you relax again. So you have to do this for quite a while. Then what I suggest is you have to go into daily mindfulness. That's why when you are out on the retreat, maintain this heedfulness. Then it will become a free mind. Because when you live life, you cannot be holding on to that one unless you really can carry this samadhi or jhana into your daily life. Then you really have to release it out. Okay? Sadhu, anything else?
So I have to see the hill as the hill now.
No problem. Because you are still confused because one moment it let you see. One moment the mundane mind come out. So you think there are two minds shifting. It is not two minds shifting. Actually, all along you are using mundane mind. Understand? With the memory conditioning. Then what is happening is because you withdraw from the apana samadhi, then you, through your relaxation, you actually come out to very near the upacara samadhi, but not upacara samadhi. So when that thing happens, then you develop the understanding of the Dhamma. That's why this Dhamma actually paved the way for you to have causes and conditions to reflect. Then suddenly, that seeing change. Could be your past, I don't know. Very likely it's your past. Then it let you see. The moment you see, then you start to use your thought to understand again. So that is where like you have conflict. Understand? Because when you are silent, completely doing the daily mindfulness, when you are in sati, ever mindful, there is no such thing one. Suddenly direct seeing, suddenly no direct seeing, then the thought comes in. This is not the ever mindful mind, understand? The ever mindful, free mind in the midst of life is not like that. It doesn't think. It just understand and awaken that there is a lot of joy. There is no doubt. Doubt comes from where? Huh? Doubt comes from your thought, your conditioning. You know too much. Then you are a very logical person. You want to reason. Dhamma, where got reason on? Whatever that is logical is always the opposite. The truth is the opposite. So don't try to reason and understand. Forget about logic. Understand them. Then the awakening karma, the nature understand. Nothing to do with knowledge on. Song also, first man also like that. Keep on asking me. But you how like that? Nah? How come? If this is one mind and I forgot exactly what it is, but he mentioned something, then how can it be like that? And I said, nah? Because the thought's still active. The conditioning is still there. So I tell him, you relax and silent and don't try to know. You will understand it on your own. Then over time he start to understand. And now, no more question. So I hope you understand. Sorry if I have caused you any confusion. Okay? Sorry. Okay. I would like to ask for apology too if I have caused you any confusion and misunderstanding or any fear when you go through that process. Okay, very good. Sadhu. Okay, now we continue. Page 92. You want my vibration or you want me to read? I think we mix, because my vibration is very important. So tonight I will try until I tired, then I ask me to read. Okay, so you listen attentively. 1.1, page 92, Heart Sutta, lesson 25. If you have delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you as... I thought we finished already. This one is a new one. How come so similar? Okay, if you have wisdom, if you have delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you except wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind is always free and at ease, because it is no longer deluded by sense experience. The mind is always peaceful and calm, and it will not stir anymore. Thought-based meditation cannot develop the penetrative insight or wisdom to liberate the mind, because Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind, and pachetang can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. If you are the wise one, realize, the thought cannot come and interfere. And so it don't have all these questions. But because you are so conditioned, so habitual, your old conditioning, you are a very logical person. Everything that happens, you want to understand. How can you understand when you use thought? This understanding is beyond thought, beyond mind. So that is a very important reminder. The Mahayana analogy of finger pointing towards the moon is very important. The Dhamma is like the finger pointing towards the truth, which is the enlightenment. So to really see the moon, one must graze beyond the finger. True or not? The finger is not the moon in there. Similarly, to realize enlightenment, one must see beyond the Dhamma and not cling onto the Dhamma. If you attach or cling onto the Dhamma, then your mind cannot be free, because it is still holding onto something and is still dwelling. Hence, not a free mind. A good example is Sun Siu, who always cling onto wholesomeness, wholesome Dhamma, and try to push away unwholesome Dhamma via his constant polishing of his mind until it shines so that no dust can alight. He has failed to realize the true mind because he mistakenly, deludedly cling onto the mundane mind, taking it to be the true mind. This delusion has conditioned him to cling onto wholesome and unwholesome Dhamma, or duality created by his own discriminating mind, fen-piercing. But Huineng, the sixth patriarch who has transcended the Dhamma and realized the true mind, is no longer deluded. Hence, he can understand that originally there was nothing. So where can the dust alight? That is, if there is no discriminative mind with delusion to divide the Dhamma into wholesome and unwholesome, for it to grasp and cling onto, then there will be no dust. What is dust? Dust are defilements, unwholesome Dhamma. Hence, no more problem, and doing is needed. No more problem or doing is needed anymore, because the wisdom free you, not your constant polishing until it shines. Try to be every time pure, pure, pure. No need to live life already. That's why you have to awaken to realize the understanding. Then you don't have to do anymore. That's why the Buddha said beyond study. That time you no need to study already. No need to practice already. Everything is just the way it is. Your wisdom, the moment it arises, prajna, it cannot disappear. That form and mind will always have it on. Okay, we read on. Mind creates through consciousness, following the 12 link or dependent origination. Consciousness is just mental images, hence not so real and empty. And because it is constantly arising and passing away, following nature's condition, we will be able to awaken to its impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature universal characteristic if we can just silently aware within. We are a choiceless awareness of what is the reality. When you're just silent, when the condition is there, you understand, it will awaken. Then it awakens that time. The understanding will be there, it's very different. It's just like suddenly you wake up. Oh, this is beautiful. This type of Dhamma is beautiful. Exactly like what the Buddha said. You won't have a case where direct seeing, normal seeing. Then the thought say, how can I that? Two mind. That one is not that actual doing yet. The actual one, the mundane mind doesn't interfere. We're ever mindful, silent. Then when it awaken, it really understand or no. No need to recall. Hey, Brother Teo say, perception of form is consciousness. Non-perception is wisdom. Oh, I don't perceive already. I got wisdom. Not like that one. But he went through a very good mind state. Understand? Because really, he that time really didn't have any of this, what they call, perception, because no hue, is it? Who know there is no hue? After that, the thought say it's no hue, understand? That's why I still got thought. And the thought linked to the Dhamma. In cultivation, the most common trap is this. Understand? Oh, this is what Brother Teo say. Perception of form is consciousness, non-perception is wisdom. So you try to not perceive. But his case, he didn't try to not perceive. Asana. Because it really transformed, but he cannot penetrate because he's not ready. His wisdom is not ready, the contemplative wisdom. He has not understood those teaching yet. Then he contemplate until very, very clear. Then one day when he daily mindfulness can do it, then he's no more in the even very light apana samadhi, when he's out with the free mind in upachara samadhi. That time, no more question. The moment he's silent and see, straight away, there is so much joy, like what Song went through. There's a lot of gratitude, and there's so much joy, just beyond words. And a lot of Kayamita, they have this understanding. That's why the real awakening is different. That's why sometimes I don't want to share too much, is because when you know too much, you go and look for it. Now that is where the problem is, understand? Because you link. Then just like the traditional teaching, Four Noble Truths, First Noble Truth, life is suffering. Everybody repeat, no? They heard before, no? Rihala, now I understand, suffer so much, life is suffering. You think you have understood the First Noble Truth? You have not yet understood the First Noble Truth, understand? The First Noble Truth is so powerful, wide-ranging, because these are reality of life and existence. You have to understand all the eight conditions. You have to meditate until the five degree of form and mind is not you. You must penetrate that. Oh, you think you can feel some suffering, miserable, Oh, life is suffering, correct already. The Buddha said life is suffering. I understood first. Where got so easy understand first number two like that? Okay? So now you can laugh. So develop wisdom, understanding. Do not be gullible. Don't be complacent. You know, Krishnamurti say what? When somebody say, I know, that fellow is the most dangerous person in the world. Why? What is there to know? All knowledge, understand? And he say, I know. Yeah, you say you know, he cannot teach you. You already know how to teach you. And what you know is knowledge. Because you perceive microphone. Microphone. Didn't even look at it. No. Understand? That is why they see with the words, the concept. They don't really see. It's like the finger pointing at the moon. Oh, the Dhamma say Nibbana like that, the unconditioned. Wow, my mind blank, unconditioned. Wow, like that, very easy to go into enlightenment or realize enlightenment. So, sometimes it's disadvantage to know too much. But if you have the understanding and the wisdom, like I say, whatever knowledge, put it aside. Start from zero base. Assume I don't know anything. Then I investigate. Then when the thing arises, it will connect back on, automatic. Understand? You don't with the knowledge and go and look for it. Understand? That's why you cannot find. That's why I say, do not look for the rising and falling. Do not look for impermanent. Brother say impermanent. The Buddha say three characteristics. Or brother say truth is everywhere. Why can't I see or look? Oh, this must be a anicchang. Oh, suffering. Oh, this one is suffering. Very God like that one. When you are not aware, when you are not like, they say every time it comes, a very sudden one, when you are not prepared for it, when you don't expect it, then it arrives. Ah, that one is the real one. You want to be an arahant, look for the criteria to be arahant. You sure see that. Ching Yao, no. Achan Cha also know, he said, don't try to be an arahant. Who try to be an arahant? Thought. Craving. Arahant is not you. That arahant, if real one, is the form of mind. You still got a I want to be an arahant. What is that? The I, the ego there, atta there, craving to be. Aiyo, can become arahant, man. Huh? Cannot. The I is the ego. Sakaya Ditti also haven't understood and break. The nut still not crack. That want to become, no? Craving to be. No? What is that in Pali word? Bawa tangha. Got craving, got atta, can become arahant or not? I ask you. Can become arahant or not? Close your eyes so you can answer. But when people tell you, you cannot see, no? What's wrong if you want to become arahant? Then you use Brother Teo's word. No? It's my ambition, no? Not craving. No? Oh, lama, kau lah. Lagi kau lah. Understand? No? So, if I don't say this out like a joke, you will never wake up, I tell you. Understand? No? Because very logical. Correct or not? You say, what's wrong? It's my ambition to become arahant. Wrong. I got no craving, no? If you really got no craving, so what? You know the causes and conditions to meditate to realize arahantship. Understand? Not? Then you don't have any craving of wanting to become. I want to become. Atta there, craving there. You ask yourself, can become or not? Because arahantship is a realization, awakening, and there's no one inside there to awaken. That form and mind, because it's connected to the direct seeing, it will have the understanding. That's why it can actually come out and share, because it went through together. So the form and mind, through memory, can actually understand. Because that thing that it experienced, it will recall. The mind went into that state, then after that, the unconditioned, cannot describe one, cannot talk one. And it's so different from the conditioned mind. That's why you will understand one. Even before it happened, the mind becomes so heedful, mindful, silent, without thought. And that is the true mind which is very near the unconditioned. And that one also must cease, though, through your wisdom, though. That's why it will merge inside. Then cease, the mind cease, and realize itself no more. Means the mind has the wisdom, realize itself that all these are delusion within the conditional. Then think also like that, don't think also, then it's silent. Silent, it becomes very still. Then the mind cease, the pure consciousness, the true mind also disappear. That's how you realize the awakening. Then for sainthood, it's just one glimpse. Arahantship, maybe sometimes longer. It depends on your training and your path. Okay? Now next one. Forehead is where the brain is. So if we leave from there, then it is mainly thought-based, giving rise to mainly knowledge. So now you understand. Your forehead here. Because your brain is inside. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So, thought is respond to memory. That's why you create a lot of thought when you put your consciousness here. That's why I say listen from the heart. See from here. Hear from here, your heart. I had to repeat it. Your recording cannot know where I point. Hey, brother, you say, see from here, hear from here. Everything from here. Where? That's why I must say the heart. That's why I tell uncle, no need to know. Stay there, silent, relax, enjoy. Then he will benefit. Okay. Heart is where the natural awareness is. So if we leave from there, we will use it mainly to feel and to be aware intuitively to arise the wisdom via the direct seeing. When the mind is chattering or thinking, then it is preoccupied with those activities. Hence, it's not a silent mind and not aware anymore to see things as they are. Active thinking will make one heedless, that is, lost in thought. Hence, no real wisdom can arise. To develop wisdom, one must develop the ability to be aware and listen from the heart. Without the interference from the brain, conditioned thinking means your views and opinion. Thought-based living leads to heedlessness and a lot of negativity, whereas awareness or sati-based living from the heart leads to wisdom. Therefore, stay in the heart, have love and be loved always. Without the daily mindfulness, there is no real meditation, because wisdom can only come about from the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Heedless thinking throughout the day develops strong negative habitual tendency. To overcome this heedlessness, you must develop the 5 spiritual faculties to counter the 5 mental hindrance of the mind. The mind sweeping method is to feel no thinking and relax. It's also a very useful technique to decondition the mundane mind from its daily heedless thinking. We are allowing the mind to settle back to its natural state of silence and stillness. Every moment of feeling and relax will allow us to relax any tension, tightness or stress within our body more and more. With a relaxed physical body, it will condition the mind to be at ease and relax also. The meditative mind is just aware, silent, and without thought. So the pure awareness or the essence of mind before the knowing is the meditative mind. So have this understanding. The moment you are silent, you are really aware, you have sati, and you can meditate. But you have to stabilize that. Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one realize the born-free supreme nibbana. Means what? This is heedfulness. That's why to be heedful, you're not only aware, mindful, you have to be constantly aware, ever mindful. Then constantly meditative means constantly using the trained mind in silent awareness, to cultivate the 4 foundations of mindfulness or the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is how you break free. Then question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Wow, I'm not a doctor. Is it the same as citta? Oh, Pali word come out. Susah. Anyway, it's a good question. Do not cling to words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the word citta, vijnanang, and mano. All three terms as synonymous with mind. Yeah? You all read the Pali text, isn't it? Yeah? Brother Tay will know. Huh? You don't know? Citta, mano, and this, what they call vijnanang. These are in Abhidhamma. Yeah. Then last time, people asked me, Brother, what's the difference between these? I never read Abhidhamma. No. We are little only, I check. No. And you know what happened? No? I can understand or no? I know what they are. Because from the way the Buddha used the word in the Pali chanting, I understand. No? Especially in the dependent origination. Avijja pachya sankara, sankara pachya vijnanang. Then nama rupang. Why he never say mano? Why he never say citta? But under four foundation of mindfulness, he said citta nupasana. He never say vijnanang nupasana. Understand? That's why it's different meaning. Now you understand? I don't guess one. Because I read, I understand. Because Buddha cannot be wrong. Correct? Pali chanting handed down cannot be wrong. Commentary can be wrong. That's why the meaning very clear. Then this is how I understand. That's why I explained to this person. I forgot who asked already. Must be somebody who know Pali. That time, Brother Tay not in the class. Definitely not Brother Tay. You never go to Heart Sutta class. So definitely not you. Somebody else. Okay, I go on. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Correct or not, Brother Tay? Mine is the forerunner thing. That one is mano. Then, the next one. As the mind that arises to create the citta. My eyesight not so good. I better use my spec.
The lighting, direct there, I have to shift towards.
Sorry, the lighting is a direct shine. So I better move on to here. Mano, okay. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 as the mind that arises to create the citta and the vijnanang. The reason why the Buddha say mind is a forerunner of all things, whereas vijnanang is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness. You know what is pure consciousness? Avijja pachya sankara, sankara pachya vijnanang, the direct seeing. As now, before you input the content. So this one is the receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then when one adds in the content of consciousness, which is sankara, it becomes citta or thought. Understand? You can follow or not? That's why the third foundation of mindfulness is what? Citta nupasana. Understand? Mindfulness of the content of consciousness. That's why these three words are... Very funny, you know. I just know how to explain it because I saw it all over. Then I just understand. No wonder these words are all different. But this word has been actually cross-used, you know, without understanding by people. Because sometimes they also use vijnanang for thought, you know. That's why you have to be careful with the commentary because they don't understand. Thought equals to what? Content of consciousness and the pure awareness, receptacle. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. That time without the perception, without the content. It's just dependent origination, automatic, switch on, light bulb, light up. Then that consciousness, before it perceive, before the aggregate arise. That's why that one is the pure vijnanam. Then when you input the content of consciousness, vijnanam pachya namarupam. That is the five aggregate of form and mind. And that is the thought. That is citta. So this is a very important understanding. Then heart is sing in Mandarin, or Mahayana term. The heart is the seat of consciousness, and it is also the gateway to your nature. Not the physical heart, please. S-E-A-T, sorry. How come we didn't correct this, I was the one that discovered the mistake one. I think you are the one who saw it, because after you understood, now I know. Miss Lee put seed of consciousness. Then it was typed out like that because the typing. So this is S-E-A-T, thank you. S-E-A-T, the place where the you rest there, understand? That's why there is where the heartbeat is, understand? The pounding one. That's why the Buddha is under Dhammapada defined. People ask him, where is the heart? Where is the mind? He said, Durang Gamang. Then don't know what Pali word. The meaning is, in a cave. Understand? Then some more other thing I forgot already. The chief reverend, our case, Sri Damandana, he said, that one is actually the heart. Because it describes exactly. And those who meditate, they know, finally, you will go to the heart. Because that is where the life force arises and pass away. The heartbeat, karmic force. You remember? Prajna, then karmic force, then food. These are the three sources of what they call sustenance that the body receives. So one is through breathing, prajna. That's why our friend, he told me he do prajna meditation. So through this chi from prajna, you can build up energy, a lot of energy. You see. Then after that, the energy came. He shared with us, he said, he used to have depression. No? Depression also gone. Then he said he used to smoke. No? Smoking also give up. Fantastic. Very good. You know how it give out. That's why I explained to him. I say because you develop this prajna and you can do it so well, you're on the energy, you feel the peace, the bliss. And this is so much more, what I should say, more refined state than your depression. No? So how can you still worry about that minor problem of depression? Because you managed to develop the mind in energy field until he said, oh, really good one. Oh, he experienced this and that. So much calmness and all those things. Then after that I say, smoking, why you smoke? You smoke because you got addiction. Then when you smoke, you feel good. You calm yourself down. Actually, smoking, if you understand, is a form of anapanasati. When you smoke, you draw in. You fully aware. You tell all those smokers, you check that they fully aware of what that smoke is on. And they can even play like magic, blow it out, make what circle, make... Ajoy is one, no, expert. He can create also. Very mindful. And they like that filter, special filter. Last time got put what? Is it mean or a mentor? Mentor. You remember? The mentor secret. When you pull, the mentor went in, so soothing. So you think that one better? He go into meditation, lagi better. That's why cigarette also give up. Then I told him, he said, is it alright if I continue to meditate? Because this can help people, you don't mind, I share. Okay? Good. Oh, he put like that. Very good. You see, I told him, it's up to you what you want. It is for help for you to recover for all this. It's okay, Anasana. But be careful. When you reach the age of 55, don't do it anymore. Your blood vessel no longer so elastic. You may get a stroke if the energy too strong, too powerful. Then the other thing is, I asked him, how old are you? Oh, 53, still got 12 more years to do. then the other thing is, there was one more thing. I cannot remember. Ah, yeah. He asked me, he said, I want to do your way. How? I said, my way, not cheeky one. You don't go and focus and build up energy with the prana. You breathe in, breathe out mindfully. It means aware, relax. Aware, relax. And then when, don't go and store this energy. Otherwise, your good friend come and look for you. You know who is your good friend or not. Start with M1. The Mara like you, love you so much. Oh, another victim. Huh? The Mara say, oh, another victim. Oh, come, we go. If you are deluded, you will be caught and you can be afflicted very severe. Yeah, there was one lady, quite elderly, I think, around 60 or what, beginning of 60 or 60. She came to my class a number of years ago in Champaka Buddhist Lodge. At first, she didn't tell me why she come. Then after she heard my talk, she came and see me. Vatio, I got a question for you. He said, last time I followed this very famous teacher. I go for the retreat, 10-day one, he said. First time, fantastic, he said. Very calm, very beautiful. Wow, can see a lot of things. Then register another one for the next session. Also not bad, also beautiful. Third one, I tell you, she kena kau kau. She went in for the third retreat, also 10 days. He said, after that, I dare not meditate. You know what happened to her? She was having problem. Then at night, she was sleeping. And she know that thing disturbing her, the good friend disturbing her. So because she went and sleep. So she thought it was a dream. Because that thing really happened. She thought it was a dream. She screamed. Then when she woke up, I tell you, she really, really shocked. Because when he was in the dream, he dreamed, the non-human, the Mara, pulled her hair out from the head. And when she woke up with all the blood, the skull, that's why after that, no more meditation. Then I say, why you come today? He said, they say your class different one, your meditation different. He said, you only mindful, don't do all those things. But mine, no show one. Yeah? No cheesecake one. You can do or not? She smiled. He said, anyway, she don't want to try again. She scared the non-cheesecake one also end up like that. But I can assure you, if you do mindfulness, if you don't have a greedy mind, if you don't have all those what they call greed for all this power or what, then you are very safe. But the moment you are egoic, you got this greedy mind to go after all this where you think is something special, then count your own blessing. You don't take care of karma, chances is you will reap what you sow. Because in the past, you never know what you have done. No, I told her, I said, very likely it's your karma. You know how the karma works or not? In the past, when she was a Mara, she did like what they did to her. No? Understand? No? That's why now got condition where you go for this beautiful meditation retreat. Then got condition, karma, you reap what you sow, fall into place, mesh. You sure kena on, understand? Hangus, they say. You know what is hangus? Chao wei ta. That's why very serious, very, very serious. I cannot see the clock. What's the time now? Oh, okay. 8:20 then, okay. We read on, huh? So, I finish it. Seat of consciousness. Who got a pen? Let me have the pen. So that I mark it, then I know. Thank you. Pamasuri, this one amended already, no? Where is she? Oh, Sadhu, she will know. Page 93. Never mind. No, you can write your note, don't worry. I return to you. Thank you. SEAT, the place it resides, seat of consciousness. And is also the gateway to your nature. So if we live from the heart, it means living with pure awareness before the thought. But the moment we introduce the sankhara or the content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do via the brain or memory, the conditioning, then thought or citta will arise. So the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought is deluded, then thought that arises become wrong thought. If the user of thought is wise, then thought become right thought. For more detail, please refer to the recorded talk. Very simple, huh? Okay, chapter 26. Clinging to all teachings and Dhamma via knowledge or memory is of not much use, and one must instead awaken to the truth. Especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature or phenomena to arise the wisdom born of direct seeing, because only wisdom or understanding free the mind. The mind once awakened is no longer deluded, and the understanding is always there because understanding or unisop manasikara, which is the wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is not a knowledge. The Dhamma is like the raft, acting as a means to take one across the ocean of suffering, and once awakened, one must not carry the raft around. Understand? There is delusion, stupidity. When you attach to Dhamma, you will do that. And one must not mistaken the finger pointing at the moon, which is an analogous with the Dhamma pointing towards the truth as the moon. So you must understand the finger is like the Dhamma pointing to enlightenment. But the Dhamma and the enlightenment are two different things. The finger and the moon are two different things. That's why to realize the moon or the enlightenment, you have to see beyond the finger. Means you have to have the direct seeing to see beyond Dhamma, beyond words, beyond thought, beyond time. So this is very important. Then the other thing about wisdom is yoniso manasikara. That's why I used to share in the early years with them. I even told Yun Chan, you cannot cut a feeling. Without wisdom, you cannot cut. And wisdom, you cannot learn. Understand? I cannot teach you. Like the Buddha said, I can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself and awaken yourself. You understand? I can only share my understanding with you. I cannot make you enlightened. Understand? It can be done. You think Samasa Buddha, Lord Sakyamuni, not compassionate enough? He will make all you all enlightened. But it cannot be done. That's why this Dhamma has to be realized, each for themselves. And only the wise one can realize it. Who is the wise one? The form and mind that is connected to the awakening. That is the wise one. But that one is not you, understand? That's why when you have this understanding, there is no ego, nothing. You know there is no one there. And that form and mind is condition arising, not a permanent. How can it be you? If you deludedly grasp and cling, then that type of enlightenment you better check. Still got the eye there, I enlightened. So these are something that the cultivator who really penetrate will understand. The Diamond Sutta make it very clear. There's a chapter, the Buddha Asubhati. He start with the, of course, the Bodhisatta and all those things. And finally, the last one is Sotapan. The Buddha asks, Subhati, Can a sotapan have the thought that he is a sotapan? What do you think? Impossible, the Buddha said. Even Subhati also understand. Impossible. See? Sotapan pun tau. I want to be arahan some more. So this one is for you to understand so that you are not gullible. Huh? Okay, the emphasis of our present civilization is mainly on IT. You know IT, information technology, science and technology advancement. Hence, the overuse of the human thought process via this type of very competitive knowledge-based education system. The spiritual cultivation via sati or awareness and the creative mind has been neglected for too long. You cannot use thought and knowledge to liberate the mind from delusion and ignorance, because thought is limited and egoic. Only through the cultivation of wisdom via mindfulness or awareness to understand who are you and what are you, can you understand what anatta is. You cannot rely on thought anymore. You should inquire via your heedfulness. Is the human being or the five aggregate or form of mind really what you are? In the olden days when we did not use the thought process so rampantly, we tend to be more intuitive and creative because we use more of our senses and inner nature to feel and be aware instead of constantly preoccupying our thought process and its related reaction to what we see, hear, think, etc. via our heedless living. But then civilization has evolved over the last few centuries, and the emphasis nowadays is more on science and technology and IT type of education, which is mainly knowledge and thought based. So we tend to use the thought process more and more to acquire scientific, technological and IT knowledge, and in the process we overlook our natural or true mind of stillness and peace, which is without thought more creative, that has a lot of clarity within. The moment those who are not yet enlightened use thought from their forehead, where the brain is situated, it will cause their mind to stir, hence disrupting its natural state of pure, calm inner awareness and stillness. We therefore need to develop the wisdom to balance our life so that we are not deluded and drawn by the overwhelming or overemphasis on the heedless thinking process to disrupt our spiritual life of awareness and heedful living. Instead of being 90%+ of the time using thought from our forehead, we should reverse it to only use it where necessary to live life with a silent and clear mind, with inner awareness from the heart most of the time. Only then do we know how to live life via our essence of mind or true mind after realizing the anatta nature of this five aggregate of form and mind. To develop this understanding or wisdom, we need to develop sati or mindfulness to reconnect back to our essence of mind. So stay at the heart and be aware from there to live life, have love and be loved. Understand that thoughts are respond to memory. So if we maintain our attention at our forehead, then thought will constantly arise. And because of our delusion, thought will create a center. What is the center? Which is the I and the me, understand not? Because from there you act, understand not? That's why it's called a center. Or self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Thereby conditioning us to act and react heedlessly. It's always limited and egoic. It will condition our fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, and emotional negativity. Knowledge bind, according to Mahayana Sutta, Wu Liang Su Jing, Suo Zi Zang. Hence, the reason why all knowing, which is thought-based knowledge, is not wisdom. And it will become an obstruction to spiritual cultivation. The reason why the Pure Land teaching of the Infinite Life Sutta or Wu Liang Su Jing, Most profound quote is 所知障, it's also mentioned here. Then 烦恼障, 所知障 is knowledge obstruction. 烦恼障 is how you call worry. 烦恼啊，烦恼. Is it worry? Yeah. 烦恼障. That is all knowing via memory are obstruction, and all fear, worry, anxiety are obstructions too. We are so used to thought-based living. Thought-based living is very egoic, hence a lot of selfishness and possessiveness. It is motivated by what your thought tell you. Our thought are conditioned thinking, conditioned by our wrong view and opinion caused by our self-delusion or psychiatry. This conditioned thinking are mainly our habitual tendency that will cause us to deludedly react, hold, cling, and grasp onto a lot of things which we think we can own and possess, or desire and reject. Before thought, this one you listen, this is how you create thought. Before thought is just spacious awareness or the entire oneness, means without a center, you just spacious awareness. Then the moment we focus or concentrate, thought is being created via the input of content of consciousness, which is our perception, feeling, emotion, thinking, and other activities of mind, etc., like your intention and all those things, within that space. Hence, thought becomes limited, because it shrinks the whole of the spacious awareness into a narrow field of focusing. Understand that? Yeah? Yeah. No focusing implies no thought. And without thought, there is no center of the I. That's why you can have the understanding and the me. Hence, no one to fear, worry, become anxious, selfish, and emotional, etc., which implies peace, pure awareness, tranquility, and stillness. The awareness nature without delusion is the essence of mind. To prepare for this coming 2012 expected transformation of consciousness and great shift, we only need to be aware and stay at our heart, have love and be loved. Then everything will be alright. That is, heart-based awareness and no more thought-based living from the forehead. Then naturally, overnight, you may transform if you do not arise any fear. The pure awareness state before the arising of thought has no center, which implies no being, hence anatta. Thought has power to divide via words, concept, idea, etc., and create the center of the I and the me, resulting in selfishness, anger, possessiveness, delusion, fear, worry, and anxiety. This sakayadity or self-delusion will condition us to believe that there is a thinker behind the thought. Very logical. Most of you will agree. And that there is an observer and the observed. The moment we awaken to the fact that it's only consciousness and every sense door consciousness is naturally conditioned arising, then this delusion of self will automatically cease to be. Remember the energy of the light bulb, lighting up of the light bulb when the switch is switched on. The moment there is delusion, the egoic mind or mundane mind or thought will grasp and cling due to the dependent origination. That is through ignorant contact, trigger of mental activity, which includes perception, memory, sakayadity, self-delusion, etc. Then contact, feeling, craving, grasping, becoming, and birth, leading to the whole mess of suffering. Just maintain awareness without thought, then everything will cease to be. Silence your mind. You will awaken to this truth. No thought means no center, no ego, no becoming, no fear, no selfishness. Understand not? Without thought, there is no center, no egoic mind. That's why the pure awareness can let you understand, awaken you. Understand how you get yourself entangled in life. We are not understanding the Four Noble Truths. So, Four Noble Truths, you go through yourself, we have covered enough. Question 1. Brother Theo, can you explain again what you mean by Buddha was able to summarize all of life, both mundane and supramundane, into just four simple but very beautiful noble truth, which is the essence of his teaching. And can you also explain which part is mundane and which part is supramundane? Oh, got people ask this type of question. Huh? Very good. Create condition for you to understand. That's why after that, 2013, they invite me to Bangkok for an international seminar, World Buddhist Conference. And there, I deliver that paper. Huh? Go and read that paper, you understand everything. Your question or answer. But when you ask that question, I will have not delivered the paper. So this one come ahead. No? So I just read through to you, see what I write. Huh? As stated above, the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha clearly explains all of the eight realities of life existence that cover all aspects of our mundane living and life experiences, ranging from birth, old age, sickness and death, to separation from loved one and prized possession, and to be with people whom we don't like, not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go your way or follow your expectation. And the final summary of attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind, upadana kanda, as the cause of all suffering. The Buddha also cautioned living beings that if they do not develop wisdom needed to free their mind before confronting this first noble truth reality, then they will definitely be afflicted by it. Suffering will be the result. Then the Buddha proclaimed the second noble truth that explained clearly the cause behind all suffering, so that living beings can develop understanding not to be gullible anymore. After understanding what is suffering and the cause behind, they will know how to manage their life better, so that they need not have to suffer unnecessarily anymore. Then the Buddha proceeded to explain the third noble truth that suffering need not be if one has Dhamma or wisdom. And there is such a noble truth that talk about the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering, which is Nibbana. The enlightenment or Nibbana is the supramundane realization. Then the Buddha explained how this enlightenment can be realized via proclaiming the fourth noble truth that states, there is a path leading to the cessation of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path of right view, right thought, right communication or speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness and right samadhi. Once this Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated, it can lead to the supramundane way of living the noble life of a noble one or enlightened one following the Noble Eightfold Path. The entire Noble Eightfold Path factor within Noble Eightfold Path, they are also noble and relevant to life, and they cover all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect. In order to live life, we have the understanding, we must have the understanding of what is life. And to understand life, we must have the first perfecto of right understanding or right view with regards to nature's law that governs all of life and existence, especially the three great spiritual laws, Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. So this one we have covered. Eh? Then to live life, we have to use thought. We have to communicate via speech, email, etc. And we also need to act and work to live life. Hence the importance of having the second and fifth path factor of right thought, right speech or communication, right action and right living cultivated. Then we also will need the four right efforts. Perfector to purify our action, speech and thought, followed by right mindfulness to be heedful, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, and finally the last perfector of right samadhi to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom to become enlightened. This is also the reason why the Buddha gave the analogy of the handful of leaf at Kosambi to the monk to impress upon them the importance of understanding the Four Noble Truths, which is so essential to live the holy life. This Four Noble Truths and its three turnings are also the Buddha's first teaching or his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which he expounded immediately after his enlightenment. The Dhamma cultivation is more or less a full-time job, that is through your throughout your waking hour, accumulating into 24-hour mindfulness or heedfulness cultivation. That is, we need to confine our cultivation fully on Dhamma when undergoing the training, which consists of hearing, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, and heedful direct seeing into the phenomenal via our daily mindfulness in life itself. But full-time job here doesn't mean one must retire or give up one's job or career. One can cultivate even in the midst of working and living life via the daily mindfulness. And this type of heedfulness training. One can cultivate even in the midst of working and living life via daily mindfulness and this type of heedfulness training. I always advise Kayanamita and devotees as follows. If you have to work for survival, then work. If you need to work because too much free time, you don't know what to do when you retire, then work. Understand? That's why I have to work and need to work different. Need to work means you need money. You don't need money, but you need to work where you don't have anything to do when you retire. Too much free time. So you need to work. You want to occupy your time. Have to work means no money. Have to work. Then the last one is the best. If you already have the wisdom and don't have to or need to work, then retire or semi-retire to do the thing that you love or like to do. That's why I retire 40 plus. About 15 over years ago. Learn to live life and not to worry about life. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative to realize the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. The most important meditation training is the cultivation of daily mindfulness. We are following this instruction, my teacher on Achanyantra's advice. We choose aware of every bodily and mental action and movement within the present moment. Okay, part 2. Mental formation. Sankara or activity of mind, which is everything that your mind can do. Impermanent means a universal characteristic prevalent in all phenomena. Where is universal characteristic? See clearly how phenomena come and go, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. I remember this was what I saw first. Cultivating. Then I keep on seeing, then contemplate and understanding. But the awakening come later, when my teacher, second last master, just moved her hand to show it to the Singaporean. That very moment, without thought, everything understood. It's just silent and just understood everything. And there's so much joy after that. Then all of a sudden, that nature awakened. Then the form and mind understood. That's what anicchang, dukkang, and anatta is all about. It's not just that phenomenal. From there, I understood the whole of the phenomena in the universe. Means all phenomena. Everything is like that. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the me. Our fundamental nature is the oneness of Buddha nature. Saying by famous Quang Ching Lao He Sang, I already went through you. Guo Qi Xing Bu Ke De, the mind of the past cannot be grasped onto because it's already gone, not a reality. Wei Lai Xing Bu Ke De, the mind of the future is also cannot be grasped onto because it has yet to come, also not a reality. Xian Zai Xing Bu Ke De, the mind of the moment is the only reality and highest in life. But to transcend life, what must you do? You have to transcend even the moment. The moment is the highest in life, but it's still within life, understand? That's why Liao Sen Si. So this one is beautiful, isn't it? Because the moment which is still within the field of thought, hence impermanent. That's why as real as can be, the only reality, split second, dead and gone. Split second, dead and gone. So the question you must ask yourself is, how real can life be? The only reality also split second gone. And you somehow cling on to so many things, thinking that you are real. Everything that you can own and hold on to are real. Everything that you come to perceive, you crave for them. When you don't have this understanding, you cannot understand. That's why the Buddha called it delusion, sakkaya ditti. Note, moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? Are you truly living, or are you too busy thinking, planning and worry about life? So much so you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauty of life, is to live life. Understand that? So beautiful compared to what living beings do, those who are healers. Worry about this, worry about that. Huh? I already described that. Worry about not only your own health, your own financial, your own problem, your children's problem, their future, their education, their upbringing and all those things. Then their whatever problem, their marriage, their relationship. Then after that, grandchildren also you worry. Wow, they are so small, so young, so cute. What am I going to do when I'm not around? Ayo, as if it's your problem. Understand? I'm not asking you to neglect them. I'm asking you to live life, understand? Got condition, play with them, play. Understand? Got condition to make them happy, do it, but don't pamper them. Understand? Then got condition to pass down your experience, your understanding. When there is condition, do it. Understand or not? But you go and worry, are you after I die, how? Nobody take care. And the parent also ngam survive only. So what you do? Open bank account, join in for them. Deposit a lot of money there. Tell your children, you cannot take. You must wait till he's 18 years old, go to school, then you use it for his education. Then make sure leave behind for him. You think your son will do that or not? Because guardian, immediately after you bye-bye, you know what is bye-bye? They say you immigrate to another realm of existence. Nowadays they say immigration, you don't die. No? You immigrate to another realm. Don't know hell realm or animal realm or deva realm. They say, imanjo. Migrate really. Means no more staying on planet Earth. So after you migrate, you think your son is going to wait till the grandchildren 18 years old. He straight away go to the wheel. This one join him, guardian, belong to my son. I'm the father, I'm the guardian. Now I take over, I put in my name. So you have to be careful. But if you don't have trust, then you got no choice. Because you cannot will it to him. Underage, must be above 18. So if you want to inherit your parents or grandparents, etc., you must make sure you old enough. Not old enough also cannot. So karma is like that. A lot of things you have to understand. What's the time now? Another 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, next one. Question 1. What is the difference between contemplation and thinking? I want you all to answer. Yeah? You have to understand this now, very important. Yeah? Can you understand that? Okay, now I read the last part. To contemplate on Dhamma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of truth that he has given us under his first turning of the Four Noble Truths. This contemplative wisdom, called Chintamayapanya, is part of the second turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind, not a heedless, actively thinking mind. With the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, and Samadhi. in its creative state of inquiry, to inquire and reflect deep into its second turning hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry, investigation with the creative mind in sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, a little bit, but not active thinking, to bring about a better understanding of what has been heard. Under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician or a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Joyce also correct, is it? Nighttime. Because she night bird last night. She very creative after 12 midnight. Drink, smoke. That was many years back, sorry. Last 6 years no more. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time. And there is a reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you, or read about. Listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with a calm mind, with very little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiry, and contemplation. Reflection is like inquiring and contemplation. How come like that? Its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Now I know. Reflection is lie, inquiry, and contemplation. These are one sentence. So its purpose is to stabilize one's what one understands. Similarly, assimilating the Dhamma is analogous to assimilating the food. That is like assimilating or absorbing the nutrient after eating the food. So you assimilate the understanding, stabilize it and assimilate. Then the second turning wisdom, which is born of contemplation and inquiry, stabilize. So it's not active thinking, understand? Like in school, don't understand, go back, think about it. Cannot. The talented people who know how to contemplate, they need a creative mind. What is a creative mind? Not muddled by thought, not heedlessly thinking. Got clarity, got creativity. Understand? So you throw up the inquiry, then the mind will scan through, like birth is suffering. Why did the Buddha say that? Then you silent, then you scan through birth process. Then you will come to understand why birth is suffering. You already scan through the process, and then you can actually arise the creative understanding. Yeah, no wonder Buddha say birth is suffering. Well, last time you never knew birth is suffering. You got no problem with your childbirth, isn't it? That's why you say no. But people who have problem, complication, and then you see suffering. Then even proper birth, the wife or the lady who carry the pregnancy have a lot of suffering, morning sickness, vomit, and all those things. Then after that, the labor itself. Then when as the pregnancy more advanced, they have problem in walking. They have to be very careful. They are G-I-A-T or G-A-I-T. Get, the way you walk. Why they use the word get? Get. Get. Not quite get, get. Get. Yun Chan also not bad on her English. So all this complete our tonight session. Okay. How many more minutes do we have? 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, you can ask me question if you want. 10 more minutes. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask me question? Nobody? Then we do some chanting. Get them to do chanting. Okay, what do you all want to chant tonight? Yesterday I heard that chanting very nice. the after the class on Joyce, I saw you heading the thing. Huh? A group of you, but you lead in it.